I'm James Dillon of Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience, and you're listening to Ramble On.
It was extraordinary to me. I mean, Jesus Christ. There were four guys. It sounded like a war.
Back out on the road, Jason's band started to write songs together. So we're open before too long. We'll have some stuff for everybody to check out.
From Jimmy Page's On This Day, October 17, 1969. On this day, I played Carnegie Hall with Led Zeppelin, or as Chris Drahek called it, imitating Peter Grant, Carnegie Hall. The clip you heard, the first one, not the second one, was Drahek describing Led Zeppelin in Carnegie Hall as sounding like war. That's clips actually from Robert Plant's Blue Note, which we talked about a couple of times earlier. Good evening, I'm Brian, call me Achilles Gardner, from the basement of Gardner Towers, somewhere in southern Ontario, and this is Ramble On Radio, episode 6. New intro music you heard, I'll probably bounce around between different stuff, give this one a go and see how it works. That, of course, was Bron Rahr, which I believe is the proper pronunciation, and that was recorded by myself. 3 or 4 years ago. That's me and guitar, and it is one of Jimmy Page's nicer pieces. So maybe that works a little better than the prelude. We'll have to play with it all and see. Saw Jeff Beck in Kitchener last week, and I have to ask, why can't Jimmy Page do this? Why can't he be doing something similar? Beck is not doing the rock star round. He's not falling off a stage or anything like that. He's playing smaller places. It's a guitarist show with virtually no vocals. The drummer sang one song, and the bass player kind of growled, the female bass player kind of growled one song more than sang it. And that was it for vocals, more or less. It was a guitarist show. And, Jimmy Page could take a band, bring a vocalist, by all means, with all the Led Zeppelin material, you want something in the vocals. Hit the small joints, do it half instrumental. Beck proves you can get away with it. He did it somewhat on the Outrider tour. He did an instrumental Stairway to Heaven. He did the Prelude. So he can do it. And, he covered his whole career, including, I don't know, I in these amazing seats. I was third row center stage, Jeff Beck. I'm like 12 feet away from a living legend, doing what he does best, doing it well. And I keep thinking, if only Jimmy would do something, it would be so cool. Unfortunately, I could not get close enough to Jeff Beck to have him say, I'm Jeff Beck and you're listening to Ramble On. So if anybody out there gets a chance to meet Jeff Beck and wants to get him on tape, send it to me. Or if you know Jeff, have him email me. I would love to have him give me a bumper. I did, however, you'll notice, get James Dillon to provide my bumper this week. Also got the full interview. Last time I expected the interview to be ready, it didn't happen. James asked me to send some questions on video, and he'll answer them. And he actually spliced it together into one complete video. It works out very nice. It worked out well. I don't know if I would do that again, though. Unless you're James Dillon or Jason Bonham or John Paul Jones or something. Then whatever they want to do. But ultimately, for anybody lower level than that, I wouldn't do it again. I lost all control of the situation. And I'm sitting around twiddling my thumbs, wondering when I'm going to release the podcast. And I ended up, but it's there this week, and there's also a video included. I'm going to be uploading that to YouTube. We'll get to that in a second. There was also a scoop in the James Dillon. You heard in the intro, you heard the little scoop, and we're going to get to it later in more detail. If you go to the blog, briangardner.ca/rambleon, you will also find out. I leaked it a little early. So we're doing what we can to drum up some interest in this thing. That includes doing a bit of a rebrand of everything. So everything is now Ramble On Radio. It's It's no longer the Ramble On podcast. It's now Ramble On Radio. The blog is also Ramble On Radio, the blog. And this is, you're listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode number 6. On top of that, I've added a YouTube page. Look up Ramblin' Radio on YouTube. You should find it. All one word. There's only one thing there at present. It's an old interview I had thrown together as a video. It was Jimmy Page in 1967 on RSO Radio, or Armed Forces Radio, I think it was, actually. And I just, because I had found it, I decided to post it up, and so that's there. Sometime midweek, I'll get the James Dillon interview, the full video, and you guys, you love this, because I was kind of, like, I was, you know, at midnight one Sunday night, I'm in my bathrobe and pajamas, I had an old ratty shirt on, I'm talking with my hands in front of my face, leaning into the thing. And so you see that, oh, James, what song you play, or whatever, and then it cuts to him, and he's leaning back, he's in like a smoking jacket, he's got a scarf on, he's sitting in a big chair, he looks all regal and rock star perfect, and he answers the questions with his elegance, and I'm stumbling, mumbling, asking him, so you'll like it, it's good. So, that will be up midweek, I think. Also, part of the rebranding, I'm on Google Plus. Just call Brian Gardner. Look me up. Let me know you're a Led Zeppelin fan, and I'll put you on the Led Zeppelin circle. And on Facebook, I've put together both a page and a group. I didn't mean to do both. I wanted to do really a page. I did a group first. Now I can't delete the group. I can't figure out how. So I don't know what I'm going to do there. It will be page or group. It won't be both. Maybe you want to look up Ramble On and see if you find me, and we'll work it out from there. Somewhere down the road, we'll work it out. So the James Dillon interview is coming up later, including the scoop, which we'll talk about before it comes. Quick email from last time. Emailer goes by the handle lif.strand. I don't know if that's a name or what that is. Maybe he's he's Scandinavian name or something. I don't know. But anyway, just a note about your comments about the Jimmy Page bio, Light and Shade, Conversations with Jimmy Page, according to the Morton Report. And there's a full link there. It will be available in 2012 instead of October 2011 date that was originally put out. Nothing is available in the Virgil Books or Crown Publishing websites about the bio that I can find. And I... he found this. There's nothing on Virgil Books. There's nothing in Crown Publishing. I actually, like I say, I think, or like I said last time, I think that the October 2012 or October 2011 date was rather an insider thing about Virgin starting to publish in hardcover at that time. News. Now, I had hoped to get Netch Titlia. Netch, you're going to have to let me know how that works. I was hoping to get Netch in, the guru of FBO. He's got some inside sources, and he had three rumors this week, three big ones. Here's number one. Robert Plant married Patty Griffith. Married. She is Mrs. Robert Plant now. Or he is Mr. Patty Griffith, however you want to handle that. That is really all we know. That's he's put that out there. Like I said, I was hoping to talk to him a bit and find out if there's any more information on it. But that's all there is, and that's been Robert Plant's week. it's a big enough week, I guess. John Bonham, we don't talk John Bonham much for a variety of reasons, but he pops up a couple of times this week, actually in interviews. Simon Kirk did an interview with a drummer for Bad Company. Simon Kirk did an interview with Classic Rock Magazine, and... He had something to say about John Bonham. And here's the question goes, you have some interesting perspective on John Bonham as a drummer, having shared the stage with him. Drummer to drummer, what's your take on John Bonham? Here's Simon Kirk. Here's his answer. He's a wonderful drummer. I mean, he had a great feel apart from his attack, and he was a wonderful friend. You've only got to listen to his drum solo on Coda, and there's some really jazzy stuff. I think, hands down, he's certainly one of the all-time great hard rock drummers. And he could do stuff with his right foot that some guys can't do with 2 feet. He kept great time. His fills were amazing. I happened to watch The Song Remains the Same, the live double DVD. I forgot what a great band they were together. They played so well together, and they all shared the stage. They worked on these huge stages like the Stoner Floyd. They played in a tight little group. Bonham and Page were so rocking together. He was a wonderful player, and I miss him to this day. And that's an interesting point, that they played fairly, you know, at the O2 show, if anybody went to that. It was a huge stage, but they played in a fairly compact little area. And that's true. That's they played, you know, they hung around that drum stand a lot whenever they played. The other thing comes from Black Sabbath's Tony Iommi. Apparently he's got a biography coming out, and here's an excerpt, a little John Bonham story. On my stag night, of course, Bonham and myself, it was only the two of us, well, also the driver, we went out to celebrate. Of course, we went to a few nightclubs in Birmingham. We'd done our little rounds, and we wound up at this one club about 1 or 2 a.m. John goes in, and he orders 12 bottles of champagne. All to be opened along the counter, he says, "This is for you." I go, "You're kidding. I can't drink all that. What state am I going to be in?" He's got the guy to pour all the glasses on the bar, and we're drinking them all, one after the other, absolutely paralytic by the time we left. So there's that John Bonham, the drummer from Simon Kirk, and John Bonham... that guy from Tony Iommi. For next, John Paul Jones had nothing big this week, but he did, I think it was back in August. Remember, he did a bunch of festivals with C6 Steve, and he did the Crop Ready Festival in, I think it was August. Anyway, if you go to the Ultimate Bootleg Experience, and it is http://, theultimatebootlegexperience2.blogspot.com. Did you get that? Ultimate Bootleg Experience 2. That's 2 is in the number. All one word, though. Ultimate Bootleg Experience 2.blogspot.com. And then search for C6 Steve, or search for Crop Ready Festival, or just scroll through. You'll find it. It's there. It's DVD. It's the full DVD of the Crop Ready Festival with C6 Steve and John Paul Jones. All right, Jimmy Page. And this one's brand new. Saw it about just as I was about to start up. I saw it. Announced tonight and on this day. Lucifer Rising and other soundtracks will be released exclusively through jimmypage.com soon. Stay tuned to this website in the coming weeks for further information. For those who don't know, the Lucifer Rising soundtrack was something he worked on during the Led Zeppelin days. It was a movie for a fellow by the name of Kenneth Anger, who had the same kind of fascination in the occult and things like that as Jimmy Page had. And he had worked on a soundtrack. It didn't happen. Things went bad there. But it has been out on bootleg, however much of it, who knows, but it's there, and he's now saying he's going to release it, and he show it on the front of his page tonight. He's showing a cover, and it looks really cool. So, but that's Lucifer Rising and other soundtracks. So we do already know about Death Wish 2 soundtrack. It's going to be re-released. You got to wonder what other soundtracks. That's got an interesting tone to it. And I'd love to hear some new music from Jimmy Page. That would be, you know, the thing. But at least Lucifer Rising is something we've never heard before, if not exactly new. Another one of my Netch, Guru of FBO Netch, rumors/tales, actually two in a row here. Roy Harper's 70th birthday celebration is coming up, and that would be, I think, Royal Festival Hall, Saturday, November 5th. I presume Royal Festival Hall is in London, I think. If you don't know who Roy Harper is, listen to Pink Floyd's Have a Cigar. That's him singing. He's a folk singer, rock singer, iconic singer-songwriter is how they describe him. Here, Jimmy Page has played on a few of his albums. He's played with them. Of course, on Led Zeppelin 3, they have Hats Off to Roy Harper, and that's a little tribute to him. He's an old friend, and according to Netch, Jimmy Page will be there, will be playing. And this, it was an important point. Jimmy Page and special guests, and he emphasized, and special guests. You can read into that what you want. I choose to read into it. Robert Plant, John Paul Jones. But that's actually quite a stretch. I'm thinking maybe one of the two. I doubt both. I certainly doubt all four of the guys will get there. But, well, actually, I know Jason Bonham won't be there because he's going to be hanging out with me in on November 5th. So, but apparently Jimmy Page, that's a good enough source that if you're in London, you might want to buy tickets. And there are some £20 tickets available. I'm thinking if I was there, I would be going just to be safe. Secondarily, Jeff Beck will be getting Classic Rock Award. The question arises, will Page A be presenting? B, perform with Beck, a la the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction in 2009. And Netch seemed to be suggesting this might happen as well, that this was in the books. So look for that. Watch for it. I don't know when the Classic Rock Awards are, but watch for it. I'll certainly keep an eye and keep anything I hear, I'll let you know. And I wanted to have Netch on to talk about those three stories. Robert Plant getting married, the Roy Harper birthday, the Jeff Beck Classic Rock Awards. He doesn't have chat software on, so he's getting. We hope to have it done by the end of the weekend, but he's in upstate New York. This is October the 30th, and if you don't know, they're getting blasted with some pretty serious weather. And I know yesterday, after I communicated with him about doing this, his power was down, the tree down. He put a picture on Facebook with a tree down on the power line out front of his house. So it didn't get happening. Hopefully, when stories like this come along, my intent is certainly to get him on as often as possible when stories like this pop up, because he tends to have good sources. And that's a second voice, really. You know, it's not always just the same guy talking, which is nice. But it didn't happen tonight. Those three stories would have been great with those three there to talk to him, but oh well. Is continuing with Jimmy Page news. Malcolm Dent was his childhood friend, and he was the curator, I guess, at the Bowleskin House, one of the houses that Jimmy Page lived in, bought, that used to belong to Aleister Crowley. Malcolm Dent, curator of the property for 20 years, Page's childhood friend. He died this week. He was 67 years old. Cause of death, unknown, or at least I don't know it. I haven't heard, but that's, so condolences to Jimmy Page, and loss of his friend, and family of Malcolm Dent. Okay, Jason Bonham. Led Zeppelin Experience is back. They did some shows in California, then they had about a week off, and now they're doing the East Coast, and they're getting caught in this storm, just like Netch is, and everyone else up along the East Coast and in upstate New York and stuff. But they're there. They've played every gig, I think. Tonight seemed to have gone off. So I don't think there's been any misses, but they're playing away. They're working their way up to Ontario. This week. Next Saturday, I'll be seeing them, hopefully talking to them, and it gives me the chance to ask a few questions, including, we'll see what I get to. Black Country Communion's DVD, Live Over Europe, was released this week. It's quite good. If you haven't seen it yet, you may be holding out for the Blu-ray, I don't blame you. There was talk of an audio release, a CD or MP3 or something. I don't know. It was an audio release talk anyway. Has not happened. I don't know why. I don't know what happened with that. But it seems to be a dead issue. But the DVD is out. Blu-ray is out in about 2 weeks. Maybe it's this week. I think it's 2 weeks. I think it's not this week, but the week after. It's quite a strong DVD. It doesn't jump all around. It doesn't... you know, it's really just a straight-up concert DVD. There's not a lot of fooling around. They have some interviews with the guys that they intersperse about 20 seconds of interviews in about every fourth song. Joe Bonamassa talking about how he loves the guitar. To this, he's like a kid with the guitar still, and he loves playing guitar. Boom, move on to the next song. So it flows very well. It's very, and boy, they're a strong, strong live band. They got good music, and they're strong live. And it sounds great. It looks great. If you get a chance to get it, grab it. On the other hand, if you're in England, on Monday night, Tuesday, I think it's midnight Monday night, Tuesday morning, whichever, November 1st, they are doing those theater broadcasts of it. Having seen the DVD now, I would love to go to the theater and see this, a big screen, a blasting 2,000 speaker sound. It would be great. So if you're there, you know, do it. Let me know how it went if you went too. I'd love to hear. Okay, more general stuff. Oh, another Netz rumor, actually. The O2 DVD was talked about, was supposed to be happening, was supposed to be coming out this fall, or this in time for this Christmas. Not happening. It's been shelved. Why? Nobody seems to know. But it's happened. 35 years ago, a week ago Thursday, The Song Remains the Same was released, October 20th. Look at this. I have 1969 written down. No. October 20th, 1976. The Song Remains the Same was debuted in New York and London. That's the movie. I guess probably the audio hit the stores at the same time or just about. On October, this was 1969 came from, by the way. October 22nd, 1969, so last Saturday, Led Zeppelin 2 was released. An astounding album for its time. It made them what it was. Without Led Zeppelin 2, probably none of the other stuff happens. And it is, I had it on just the other day. I was listening to it. And, so good. So much so good stuff in that. And speaking of the albums, there is an exhibition of Led Zeppelin 4. Next month, November, marks the 40th anniversary of Led Zeppelin's 4th album. And to celebrate, the Flood Gallery are holding a special exhibition. The gallery, based in Greenwich, have commissioned 8 original prints, each representing one song on the album. These will be shown from November 17th to 24th. There are a limited number of 200 posters of each print available to buy. They're signed and numbered by the artist and can be pre-ordered at thefloodgallery.com. To find out more about Led Zeppelin, click through Classic Rock Archive. So the next little gallery commemorating, if you're at Greenwich Way, when we went to the O2 show, we actually stayed in Blackheath, which was just, about a 5-minute walk from Greenwich. I walked to the observatory there at Greenwich the first day, just kind of walked through the park and the other end of the park. So, oh, look at this, the Greenwich Observatory. Nice find right off the top. Staying on the album release, or the album information, the music notation book, the tab book for Into the Outdoor was released this week. They have been slowly, one at a time, releasing these books for the last, probably 6 months. And they're supposedly, I think even Jimmy Page may have had something to do with them, and they're note perfect, they're spot on apparently. I have not really had a chance to see any. I've stuck my nose in one or two and gone through it, but I've not actually sat down with one and figured out. And maybe the Into the Outdoor would be a good one to do that with. Buy myself a Telecaster with a B bender and go get the book, and I'd be in business, I think. And here's one that comes up: Record Store Day, November 25th, 2011. Now I know Record Store Day in April. And last April picked up the, there was a Yardbirds single available. I picked it up and I can't remember what it was called at the time. Now there's two more Yardbirds available, singles available. These would be new release, brand new records, vinyl records, 45s, but they're re-releases of back in the day. The two singles for this record store day is 10 Little Indians and Drinking Muddy Water. And the second one is Ha Ha Said the Clown and Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor. I think both are Jimmy Page or Yardbirds singles. I do believe that is so. So that's kind of exciting, and it'll be nice to, the one I got was, the first one I got, it's quite good, and it's you know, nice to have a good quality record with a nice sleeve, and so you're supporting your local record store is the whole idea behind Record Store Day. So, and I guess it goes so well, they're doing it twice a year now. I thought that I didn't know anything about that, I thought that was interesting, so there you go. James Dillon. James is, he was a singer for a thing called Virtual Zeppelin, which was a bunch of guys all around the world. They would record their part on video. And somebody within the group put it all together. I don't know if it was James or if it was the guy who plays guitar. It was a Japanese guy who plays guitar. And he mentions him in the interview. You get the name there. Probably one of those two guys pieced the video all together. So what you got was a very well done version of a Led Zeppelin song. In a nice video, they posted it on YouTube. They just kind of were doing it for their own fun. Thought maybe a few people would see it. Thousands saw it, including Jason Bonham, who called him, talked to him one day, rather out of the blue, and had a nice chat. A few months later, I called again, said, "Hey, I'm putting together a band. We're doing Led Zeppelin stuff. It's going to be called the Jason Bonham Led Zeppelin Experience. And are you interested?" That was 2 years ago, and he was interested, and he's still, they're doing this, they're on their third tour now. So it's been a nice little, it was a nice, you know, James is not 20 years old, right? He's like the rest of us, he's in his 40s, or he's, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's in his 40s, and but it's kind of nice to be discovered late in life and get a break like that, and he got it, and he's actually quite a nice guy, and here's an interview with Jay. This is James Dillon, lead singer of Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. First off, so how are you? Congratulations on your wedding this past summer. How's the family? How's all that going?
Hey Brian, thanks for having me. Yeah, I got married this summer to my beautiful wife Avrel, and I am certain I am the luckiest man in the world. My family's doing great. We're having a week together right now as the trucks from the tour are making their way across the country. We were out in California and Nevada doing some makeup shows, and they gave us a few days off to spend with our families before we reconvene on the East Coast in New Jersey.
So I missed seeing you guys last spring. I was actually away for my 20th wedding anniversary, speaking of weddings, and so is the show, is it still using the same format? Is it still a couple of songs? And then Jason talks about his dad a bit. You can show some home movies and stuff. Or is it kind of more music-based now than it was originally?
Congratulations. 20 years, man. That's awesome. Yeah, the basic concept of the show is the same. But the shows change a little bit from night to night. Just depending upon what songs Jason wants to throw in or what memories he wants to share. So, but overall, it's basically the same idea with a little bit of change in dialogue and music.
And is there any new material as doing, you know, anything fundamentally different than you were doing when I saw you a year ago, the first part of the tour?
Well, we have a lot of songs that we play, but the problem is, which songs do you remove from the set list in order to make room for these songs that you want to introduce to the set list? And with Zeppelin's catalog, it's very challenging to find any songs that you'd be willing to part with. So we end up playing three-hour shows just in order to get in some of the songs that we want to play.
And the band, is the band the same? You know, I know Michael left last time out, and Darian Hartsong took his place. I'm assuming Tony is still on guitar, and I know Steven is going along with you, but what about Darian? Is he still on bass? And how is it playing with Darian as compared to playing with Michael? How did that work out, that change?
Yeah, same guys from last tour. That's Stephen LeBlanc, Dorian Hartsong, and Tony Catania. Dorian and Michael Devon are friends, and when Michael learned that he was going to be writing music and touring with Whitesnake, he called Jason and said, "Hey, listen, I've got the perfect guy to cover for me." And as you will see in here, he did have the perfect guy to cover for him.
Any new songs, any surprises on the set list? And last time out, you guys did Achilles Last Stand a couple of times just, and that disappeared. I was curious why that got dropped.
Yeah, we played Achilles Last Stand 2 times on the last tour. The thing about that song is it's very long, and we have to take a few songs out of the set list just to play it. That's like the Rain song. We played the Rain song 1 time. It's a challenge to fit them in.
What songs haven't you done that you would like to see the band do, or that you would like to do? You know, is there something in there that you're pushing for, or you're kind of secretly hoping Jason says, let's do?
I'd be hard-pressed to find a song from Led Zeppelin that I wouldn't want to play. I would say maybe How Many More Times. I really liked playing that in the first tour, and we haven't played it since, so I hope that one comes back at some point.
As you know, I'm going to be in Orillia on November 5th. I'm looking forward to meeting you and everybody else, finally face to face. I'd love to hear Fool in the Rain. Zeppelin themselves never performed it live. As far as I know, the only one who ever has is Robert Plant, did it with Pearl Jam one night. You certainly haven't heard of you guys performing it. You ever guys worked that song? You ever talked about doing it? Any thoughts on doing it? And, you know, if it's kind of in the back of everybody's mind, I'm putting a request for November 5th.
Absolutely. Great song. The only thing is it's not the James Dillon Led Zeppelin experience. It's the Jason Bonham Led Zeppelin experience. So you'll have to take that request up with the boss.
What's been your most memorable of the show so far?
For this tour so far, it would definitely have to be the Greek Theater. That was one of the shows that we had to reschedule. So we had this anticipation built up that we're going to be playing the Greek Theater. And then we have 4 additional months before we actually get to do it. So when we finally did set foot on that stage, it was the greatest feeling in the world. And Avril flew out to see that show too, so it was a great night all the way around.
And I guess just is there anything you'd like to add about this time out? It's going to be something we should watch for, something that's going to be different or interesting, or something you feel is overlooked in the past? A couple of tours that maybe we should all watch for this time.
Yeah, I want to tell everybody about our Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience Facebook page. This is a place where you can get tour dates, you can get questions answered. There are contests where you can win stuff. And some of the fans are using the page to tell us their stories and their Led Zeppelin experiences, and we read them. So come join us on Facebook.
Getting past the Jason Bonham, haven't seen any new Virtual Zeppelin videos lately. Is that done with? Has that played itself out? Or am I missing some? Are they there?
Yes, there will be more videos by Virtual Zeppelin. This past year, it was difficult to coordinate the efforts to do that. June 626 and I are adamant about keeping the original lineup. So as soon as everybody has time to do it, we're going to put together more videos.
Outside of Jason's band and the Virtual Zeppelin, what have you been up to musically? You got any projects of your own upcoming, a band on the go or anything like that happening in your off time?
Yeah, since we're back out on the road, Jason's band has started to write songs together. So we're open before too long. We'll have some stuff for everybody to check out.
I want to thank you so much for doing this. You guys have a great tour. I'm really looking forward to seeing you. I was sitting with my brother-in-law and his 14-year-old son tonight, and they were saying, oh, we want to go see them. And the 14-year-old son's so excited at the possibility. And unfortunately, Casino Ram is an adult-only facility. But so that won't be this time. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that love to see this thing. Looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'll see you next week, or no, about 3 weeks. Take care, man.
It's my pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me, and I'll see you in a few weeks.
And there you heard it. James Dillon just told you, since we're back out on the road, quote unquote, Jason's band started to write songs together. So we're hoping before too long we'll have some stuff for everybody to check out. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience is working on material and hoping to release it soon. And follow up message with James, because I listened to that. And just kind of, go back and listen to the interview, he kind of flows out, well, Jason's band, since Jason's band's been on the road, since he's in Jason's band, it was on that he spoke to it as Jason's band. I listened to it about 3 times, sent him a message, said, did I catch that right? Are you guys working on new material? And this is the follow-up. Yes, we are just in the beginning stages, so it's something we would all like to do right now. The idea is to write music while we're on the road. It started last tour when we were in soundcheck. So there's the scoop. James Dillon has told us that Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience working on new material. And wouldn't that be very cool? Our friend Wyatt Brake suggested, hopefully they go with a different name, and I do agree with that. Even Jason Bonham Band would be fine or something, but yeah, Jason Bonham, the Led Zeppelin Experience, probably not the best name for a band if you're doing original material. So anyway, that was the interview. That was James Dillon, lead singer of Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. Quite a nice guy, actually. I've had a fair bit of dealings with him on the internet over the port class last year and a bit. And I've really enjoyed him. And it was nice to have that, what amounted to a chat anyway. Okay, I got a couple of reviews going. I was nosing through my Kobo. I have a Kobo e-reader. Or had it. It's dead. It looks like it's dead, and it's a piece of junk anyway. And don't get me started on that issue. But I was nosing through it a couple weeks back. And I found Chuck Klosterman's The Led Zeppelin Essays. I thought, oh, cool. I really like Chuck Klosterman. And I figured it'd be a compilation of essays. And it was $1.99. So, you know, no great burden to buy it. And even at $1.99, though, it was deeply, deeply disappointing. It was not The Led Zeppelin Essays. It was The Led Zeppelin Essay. A single essay retelling... his best interview ever was Robert Plant. It was just kind of a blurb on working for a heavy metal magazine, or one of the magazines he works for. They were doing Heavy Metal Edition, I think it was, actually. And he got, you know, Led Zeppelin, and Robert Plant was not pleased with being tagged Led Zeppelin or Heavy Metal. And then he put up excerpts of the interview, and it was maybe 10 pages long, and it was just really wasn't worth it. Wasn't worth doing. So if you see Chuck Klosterman, The Led Zeppelin Essay, save yourself $2. Go buy a coffee. $2 far better spent. It just wasn't, you know, if this was 10 or 12 essays, it would have been great. It was one, and it was not, you know. I was done the thing in 4 or 5 minutes. It really wasn't, not pleased. On the flip side is A Whole Lot of Lead. By Ralph Hewlett and Jerry Prochnicki. I mentioned last time that Ralph Hewlett had indicated he was sending me a copy of the book. I remember I kind of said, but how these things work is it takes forever for the books to get here. Well, it was there. He indicated on the Friday, I think it was, that he sent the book. It was there the Monday. They slapped it in FedEx and sent it up. And so I got a copy of Whole Lot of Lead from Our Flight with Led Zeppelin. And I've been reading it. I finished reading it about 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago. So I've given it a good read over. And the reason I got this is because it's being re-released in ebook format this week, I think. I think it's November 1st. Check with Amazon on that. Or check with, they have a website, wholelotofleadthebook.com. Now, Jerry Prochnicki is just kind of a writer and... photography. He's done as an amateur. He takes a lot of pictures of concerts and then sells those pictures, and he's done it for a long time. And the book basically tells Led Zeppelin's story, starting with the Yardbirds, right through to the end. But it tells it from the point of view, kind of the fan in the stands. And these guys have seen Led Zeppelin a number of times, or they track down, in a lot of cases, photographers who shot Led Zeppelin and got their stories, the first time they seen them, that sort of thing. So it really focuses, he lives in California, and Jerry Prochnicki lived most of the time in New York, but he did move out to California himself. The story really focuses on the West Coast shows. In the early days, it gets into the New York shows, Fillmore East and the Boston Tea Party and that sort of stuff. But it really spends more time on the big shows, and they hit LA and they become this, you know, and he was actually up in the Oakland area, I think it was, for a lot of it. And so it's a good book. It's the same story. It's a story you've heard 100 times, but it's a very different perspective of it. And it's got some different pictures that you don't see everywhere. He's the people who told the story to, and who's helping him relate the story, often donate a picture or two to the book. Now, it should be the ebook. One of the things about the ebook, it has new pictures. It has a bunch of new pictures. And you can see some of them if you go to the website. Again, the website is wholelotofledthebook.com. You could probably buy the ebook from there. And I know they have it on Amazon, or I'm pretty sure they have it on Amazon. And I'll sniff around in the next 2 weeks and see where it turns up, and let you know what I find. A couple of things in this book, though. Just a couple of, you know, for all it is, it really is the history of Led Zeppelin, and then they intertwine their own lives with it. So I could live without hearing about Ralph's, his own band, hearing about when he was taking pictures of Jethro Tull. Not that I don't care, it's a book about Led Zeppelin, and that's kind of where you focus in. That said, that's a minor side attraction. There were some things, though. There were the odd, what I would consider an error. He mentions about Led Zeppelin doing the demanding the 90-10 split on money with promoters. He mentions it in reference to the 1970, one of the 1970 tours, and I'm almost positive it wasn't until 1973 they started doing that. And he doesn't suggest necessarily this tour they do it. It's one of those things that's worded funny. He may be talking about down the road they did this. But anyway. You run into stuff like that, and it's true with every book you go into, right? But I did like this one. This one was one I saved aside, and how was it? What was it? One page 113. There were no Led Zeppelin 3 was released beginning of October. There were no CDs or MP3s, just a 12-inch platter of vinyl. The only decision was whether you buy it in stereo or mono. And I have this beside me here. You hear that? Oh, that's called 8-track.
Hang that.
And believe me, they released an 8-track of Led Zeppelin 3. And yes, I have an 8-track player beside it. And for 6 episodes, I've been wanting to use that stupid 8-track player just for the fun of doing it. So yes, that's there it is. I use my track player. So yes, no, there were no CDs or MP3s, but it wasn't just 12 inches of vinyl. There was 8-track, and there was probably cassettes, and probably, in fact, you probably could have got it in reel-to-reel. 1970, they did do some of that. They released stuff like this on reel-to-reel, very limited, very exclusive, but it was done. And if you go on eBay and look up reel-to-reel, you'll find stuff. You find like Sgt. Pepper on reel-to-reel and stuff like that. But yeah, so there's, you know, and in fairness to him, he talks later on about buying Led Zeppelin CDs, and, you know, he's got a car by that time, and he's cruising up and down the Pacific Coast Highway listening to his Led Zeppelin 8-track. So he does know it. I just found that it was just one of those things that torqued me, if that is a line. Speaking of Led Zeppelin 3, here's a quote from the book. But for me, the gem of the album was the slow-burning epic blues Since I've Been Loving You. Plant did his best Janis Joplin interpretation, and if you've been debating about who is the greatest rock guitar player in history, just listen to Page's tortured solo and move on to another subject. And boy, that says it all about that song, about that guitar player. That's very true. Name a better solo than the middle of it. And I always, my favorite scene in the song remains the same, is he rips into the solo in the middle of the song. And they kind of scan the crowd, and everybody's just, you know, jaw on the floor, unbelievable, including the cop. The cop who's supposed to be doing crowd control is turned towards the stage, and he's just, it's just an awe look on the face. You know, a master has gone to business. So that's my little bit on that book. It's a good book. It's worth having. It's worth reading. If my Kobo wasn't dead in the water, I might pick it up on ebook to see what else he had done. But of course, I didn't have to when I talked to him about it. He sent me a proper book. So I'm going to try. I'm going to see if Ralph will come on in the next, maybe not next one, but the one after. So I might try and get an interview with Ralph. Let's promote his book a bit. And I will also write a proper review and put it on the website sometime this week. It's a very good book. Got a lot of good pictures, a lot of good stories. And, hey, it's about Led Zeppelin. What more did you want, right? If you're looking for a light or silly story, I like to. This one comes from comes to us from ultimateclassicrock.com. Whole Lot of Love Helps Unicyclist Conquer a Volcano. The author of this story is Joe Robinson, and I'm just going to read it for you. Yes, you read that headline correctly. A 15-year-old man from Aspen, Colorado has set the world record after riding to the top of the 13,796-foot Hawaiian volcano Mauna Kea on a unicycle, and with a whole lot of help from Led Zeppelin. Mike Tierney became the first person to accomplish this feat last month when he completed the arduous day-long journey after a large breakfast of bananas, papaya, eggs, and pancakes, and a steady diet of Led Zeppelin played through his headphones. As he reached the summit of the volcano, and that's the end of his voyage, he summed up his last energy reserves and cranked up a whole lot of love to help him get to the top of Mauna Kea. "I couldn't believe I had done it," Tierney told the Aspen Times. "I remember feeling, this couldn't be any better. This is Nirvana." So, he's a Nirvana fan too. "I was on top of the world, literally," Tierney remembered about his journey. "I was total elation. I could have kept going, but I'm glad I didn't have to. And if you did have to keep going, there's always some more Led Zeppelin. Misty Mountain Hop, Over the Hills and Far Away. Your time's going to come. So many more options." So yeah, the dude's unicycling up a volcano, and what's he got on his headphones? Led Zeppelin. Of course he does. What I have in my headphones, right? Well, I wouldn't be unicycling up anything. I've tried a unicycle. My son has one. Believe me, I'm not unicycling up any mountains in the near future. That's it. That's all. Ramble on Radio number 6 is put to bed. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you. I'm going to see Jason Bonham next Saturday, and I'm hoping, because I'm supposed to be getting backstage. I'm hoping that I will have some chatter from backstage from all the guys, including Jason, for next time. But we'll see what next time brings. Thanks for listening. This has been Ramble on Radio. I am Brian Gardner. BrianGardner.ca/RambleOn.